Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Knowing very, very little about the Cappadocian Fathers, not knowing how to connect today's reading with the Cappadocian Fathers, I decided to simply go with the Word of God from Acts chapter 10, words that were read to you a few moments ago. In Mark Twain's Huckleberry Finn, Tom Sawyer says to his friend, "Huck, we can't let you into our gang if you ain't respectable." Unfortunately, there are many well-intentioned, good church people who like to think of their church as their gang, and they don't want people in their gang who ain't respectable. They want a fellowship that is pure, a church full of like-minded, respectable folks like themselves, of course. And so this Word of God is addressed to respectable folks like ourselves, of course. You know that there were already in the earliest days of Christianity people who wanted the church to remain pure and undefiled and strictly Jewish. They were sometimes called the circumcised party or simply the circumcision. They adopted an admission code that required a Gentile wishing to become a Christian to first of all become a good Jew, to be circumcised, to submit to all the ceremonial laws, and only then could they become a Christian. They believed the gospel. They believed that Jesus had died for them. They believed all of the promises of God were for them. They would sing the hymn that we just sang with full confidence, for us, this love, how deep, how broad, how wide, for us. But they were just as convinced that God had absolutely no use whatsoever for the Gentiles. So neither did they. Gentiles weren't respectable. Obviously, their attitude raised some crucial questions for the future of the church. What is it that makes a person respectable to God? Are the promises of God intended for only a few respectable folks? Or for some people? Or for many people? Or for almost all people? Who could they let into their church? St. Peter began his ministry pretty much in agreement with the circumcision party. He was a conservative, a devoutly Jewish, strictly kosher Christian. But the Holy Spirit was already working to change his attitude, to tear down the barriers, to open the doors, to proclaim the gospel to all people, even to Gentiles. And so one day it happened over the noon hour, the hour of prayer. As he was up on the roof, his stomach probably grumbling as he waited for his lunch, he saw a vision. He went into a trance and he saw the heavens opened, and something like a large sheet coming down, filled, commingled with all kinds of animals. Some of them were kosher. Some of them were considered unclean, the kind that respectable Jews were forbidden to eat. And he heard a voice say to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter refused. "By no means, Lord. I've never eaten anything common or unclean." But the voice insisted, "What God has made clean, do not call common." Was it Peter's arrogance? Or his prejudices? Or some sense of misguided piety? Was it a misinterpretation of God's will? A misunderstanding of what it means to be faithful. I think that's what Peter was really after, trying to be faithful. But can we ever be faithful and disobey the Word of God? The vision happened three times. It seems that Peter always needed to have things repeated three times. He had denied Jesus three times. He had been restored by the risen Savior on the seashore three times. Peter must have been so set in his ways that he needed to hear things again and again and again until, like being hit upside the head with a baseball bat, God's word could finally sink in. So Peter was still trying to figure out what God was saying to him when he was interrupted by a delegation from Caesarea. Have you ever noticed that in the most crucial times, the times when we're busiest, times when we're uncertain, God sends someone to interrupt us? Someone who needs our help. Someone who will give us the opportunity to serve in some new way that we'd never thought about before. Students, future pastors, I want you to hear this. That it is almost always in the interruptions that real ministry takes place. The Holy Spirit used this interruption to clarify who should be included in the church. This delegation was sent by Cornelius, a Roman centurion. Acts describes him as upright, God-fearing, well spoken of. He gave alms generously. He prayed regularly. Who wouldn't want a new member like that in their church? But Cornelius was a Gentile. He was uncircumcised, and so he wasn't respectable. Or was he? The Holy Spirit was working now from both sides. Pushing Peter, pushing Cornelius to make real ministry happen and to open the doors of the church. Cornelius had also seen a vision, and he had heard an angel speak to him and say, "Send for Peter." And so he did. When they arrived, Peter must have been caught off guard because he invited this delegation, and we don't know whether they were Jewish or Gentile, but the delegation came, and so Peter invited them into his home to eat with them. And the very next day, without any further word, he went with his delegation back to Caesarea. Now Peter had to step out of his comfort zone as he stepped into Cornelius's home. No respectable Jew would ever be caught dead in the home of a Gentile. And so this was one small step for man, but one giant leap for mankind. This was a crucial moment in the history of the church. Finally, Peter got it. The gospel wasn't intended for just some people. It wasn't intended for only Jewish people. It was intended for all people, even the Gentiles. Those that he had once considered unclean were becoming clean the very same way that Peter had, the very same way that you and I have, forgiven of all of our sins through the precious blood of Jesus. Those people who weren't respectable were becoming respectable only by the grace of God. And in that moment, perhaps, Peter remembered the last words that Jesus had spoken to him. "Go, make disciples of all nations. Baptize them all. Teach them all to observe everything that I have commanded you." And so our text is the first part of the sermon that Peter preached that day. Cornelius and all his family had gathered together, and Peter began, "Truly, I understand. I finally get it. God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." And then Peter gave witness, his own story, what he had personally heard and seen and knew to be the truth. the preaching, the teaching, the miracles, the cross, the empty tomb. He had seen the risen Savior. And then Peter ended his testimony with a witness beyond his testimony, the witness of all of Scripture, the word of all the prophets, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins in his name. Everyone and all. Translations of the little Greek word pas. In our text, it appears as Pontus, Panta, Ponton Curios. The word dominates this entire lesson. It's the same word that we heard on Christmas Eve as an angel delivered good news of great joy for all people. Unto you is born a Savior. All might seem like an insignificant little word, but it is absolutely crucial to our Christian faith. Suppose the angel that night had said, I've got good news of great joy for some of you, for those of you who are respectable enough. How would you ever know? How would you ever know if you were respectable enough? How would you ever know if those words included you? That your sins are forgiven, that a Savior came for you. Thank God for the little word all, absolutely all, because yes, it does include you, and it includes your loved ones, and it includes the people who are just like you, and even those who aren't like you at all, even folks that you might think ain't respectable. This Epiphany season, that word all needs to dominate, and it's always there. It takes on a very special meaning for us. It not only gives us comfort and assurance for ourselves, but it also opens our eyes, our hearts, our minds to see the millions of people all around us, near and far away, who don't know Jesus and his love for them. Like those first century Christians, we need to confess that we all have our prejudices and our bad attitudes and our sinful pride and a sense that somehow we're more respectable than those people out there in a secular culture, those people out there who are unchurched, those people who are not saved, those people. And sometimes we even get to feeling that we're more respectable than those people who are in the church with us, with whom we might disagree. The church has always stood on a simple truth based on the word all. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All ain't respectable, but all are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The little word all puts an end to any question whatsoever of respectability, and it focuses all of our attention on Jesus, who truly is Lord of all. So during this Epiphany season, I urge you to listen for this crucial little word, all. It's there. You'll hear it again and again and again. Be comforted and assured that it does include you. Listen for this word. You'll hear it. And let it interrupt whatever else is going on in your life. Let it push you out of your comfort zone, beyond your pride, beyond your prejudices, into real ministry and mission to all. In the name of Jesus, amen.